You are now listening to Full Contact Radio, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. And now your host, DJ and Case.
This episode of Full Contact Radio is brought to you by TixBlitz, the official ticket provider of the Pulse Podcast Network.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TixBlitz, the price you see is the price you pay, and TixBlitz just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixBlitz.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location, pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixBlitz.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixBlitz. That's TixBlitz.com, TixBlitz.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
Welcome back to Full Contact Radio. We're going to do a special five-round edition. We're midweek here, getting ready for UFC Wichita. The main event is Junior Dos Santos versus Derek Lewis. Should be a banger.
Mm-hmm.
You looking forward to it?
Yeah. You know, it's probably not going to go well for Junior, I don't think. Yeah. Derek Lewis is a beast, you know what I mean? Like, younger anyway, maybe not young age-wise, but fight years-wise, he's much younger. It's going to end in a knockout. So you always look forward to a fight. You know what's going on. These two are going to stand up and fist fight. Like, that's what's happening. Nobody's going for takedowns.
Derek Lewis is like, he gets so damn tired so quick, but he comes up with knockouts in third rounds kind of frequently for someone who's always dog ass tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's exciting. Even if he's like, as dead as can be, you know that one shot can end someone's night. He's got ridiculous power.
Yeah.
And Junior's coming in off two wins in a row. So, you know, that's...
Junior's got knockout power, too. Even though he's not the fighter he once was, that punching power's still there.
Yeah, that's the last thing to go.
He can crack.
It's crazy, though. Junior's been in the UFC 10 years.
I know. I remember when he was young. I remember when I didn't know who he was. The first time I took a note of him was when he fought Krokop.
Yeah.
And Karshner was real big on Junior. He was like, he was talking about how he thought Junior was going to win easily. And I was like, man, I can't believe you think that, man. And Chris, like, he's dude's a beast, man. He was right, you know. And then the second time I saw him was when he knocked out Gilbert Ivel.
Yeah.
And who I knew from Pride, you know, who I knew was a beast, who I knew was a great striker, you know. From the Netherlands, you know what I mean? Out of where all them.
He was awesome. The first guy to land a nasty head kick.
Wasn't
the first head kick finish, but it was the nasty first one.
Yeah, where Petey Williams, Mark Coleman was the first, but Mark had his hands on his knees and, like, kicked him right in the mouth.
Yeah.
The one Gilbert Ivel landed on Gary Goodrich, bud, was right upside the head. It was a Krokop style.
Super quick, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, that brings us to something. So before we get started, we should probably go back and introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
As always, is your host.
DJ.
And Case. And round one, actually, is a fighter. You've said his name twice already. Mirko Filipovic, a.k.a. Krokop, officially announced his retirement finally.
Again?
He had a stroke last week.
Oh, man.
He's officially – this is done.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. But I think it'd be a good first round for us to kind of reminisce on what we'll remember him for.
Oh, man.
Where does he stand in the mind of the pantheon of heavyweight fighters? You know what I mean? Like, and what's your favorite moment from Krokop? So I'll start. I'll go first with the where he stands for me is he's the most dangerous. Like, if you're, like, not greatest, because greatest is a lot of winning and a lot of, you know, titles and defending, yada, yada, yada. He's on a different list. Most dangerous fighters ever. Mm-hmm. He's in the top five.
Yeah.
He had one of the, if not the most brutal finishing weapon in all of mixed martial arts.
Yeah. It was like Mike Tyson. Well, people say Mike's left hook, but Mike knocked people out with both. It's more like, I'm drawing a blank, like Paul Daly, his left hook. We know what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what Krokop's left high kick was.
Yeah.
But more devastating.
The saying that went along with Krokop was, the right leg will send you to the hospital, the left leg will send you to the morgue.
Yeah. And it was true, man, especially in the Pride years, man. Like, he had a run. When I saw Krokop, it was like, whoa, this is a new level right here.
He was an assassin out there, because even in the first few fights, people, I guess, you know, you weren't really hip to it, although he had a K-1 background.
Mm-hmm, but I never saw K-1. I never saw K-1 till years later on YouTube. All the K-1 stuff from the 90s that I know about, I didn't know about it when it was going on. I didn't know about Andy Hug.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Ramon Decker and all these dudes.
Saw my first K-1 experience was Peter Aerts and Remy Bonjansky. That's 2002 or 3.
Yeah.
It was on ESPN. That's
about
when they would play that.
Right when I first started hearing about K-1 and stuff. And like when you'd watch Pride fights, they would show K-1 footage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Alistair, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So that's where he came from, but the difference was for him, because in mixed martial arts, you could be a hell of a stand-up fighter, but I'll just take you down. He developed such a takedown defense that it was an art.
Yeah, his sprawl. Well, he was such an explosive athlete, man. Yeah.
You can tell that by looking at his legs.
Yeah, like he you could tell Krokop was would have been a better MMA fighter than, say, Remy, who you just brought up a second ago. There, like, Remy would have been a much more susceptible to the takedown. Yeah. Remy, you know, I don't know enough about striking. Krokop, they all look great to me. Like, I've heard Joe say, like, how guys from nowadays would destroy the guys from the 90s. But when I watch Andy Hug, I think he looks amazing. You know what I mean? People say, I've heard it said that Remy's more technical than Krokop. Like, I can't say that. You know, I don't know what I'm really looking at. They both look amazing to me, but that's in kickboxing. Same with Ernesto Hoos, you know, he's supposed to be like the best ever, you know what I mean? But I don't think he would have done well as well in MMA as Krokop did. I think Krokop translated better than
he was a perfect blend of athleticism.
Same with Badr Hari. I don't think Badr Hari.
Yeah, he's 0-1 as a martial artist.
You know, Krokop translated well because of that explosion, that strong lower base. I mean, guy had tree trunks for thighs, man.
Yeah.
He was an explosion is what Krokop was.
What was your favorite Krokop moment?
Probably when he head kicked Igor Vovchanchin, because that was just nasty, man. The way it whipped his spine, you know what I mean? Like, you remember how they did that breakdown of that, you know?
Yeah, just put a wave right through his back.
Yeah. I would say that but he had a lot of those. I mean, he's got a head kick highlight reel that is unmatched.
Would you be willing to say he's got the most impressive highlight reel finishes?
Oh, probably, man. Vitor's got some beautiful ones, but Krokop's are one strike finishes to where Vitor's were common, unloading. Anderson's, you know, got to be up there. But yeah, I would like Krokop's. The guy could be completely fresh, not wobbled, and then the fight's over.
Yes.
That's how Krokop ended fights.
And they knew before the fight started, he throws this left high kick, and you just could not.
It was so lightning fast.
You could
man.
Not do anything about it. There was a point in time where that was the ultimate weapon.
Yeah, I'll tell you another one, man, that sticks out to me is when he split Vanderlei's head open like a watermelon.
Yeah.
The second fight with Vanderlei, he hit him with a high kick that literally gashed a 6-inch gash, it looked like, on the side of his head. I mean, that shin to the side of the head just cut the skin on Vanderlei. I mean, he destroyed Vanderlei in that second fight. He won the first one, too, but he destroyed him in the second fight, man. Those stick out to me. I'll tell you another one that sticks out to me though, but it's not a good one. Can't get it out of my head that the Gabe Gonzaga knockout on him. I mean, my God.
Krokop got Krokop.
I mean, how crazy was that?
Yeah.
How crazy was that? I mean,
it almost felt like I did it.
Yeah, I know.
Because I talked this dude up so much. When he got in UFC, these guys didn't know what we knew
from
Montreal to Pride. And then
I remember having the conversation with you right when UFC, right when that was first all going down, your place on Water Street by the tracks. And we were so hyped. I remember having that conversation with you and talking about how he was, oh, Randy Couture and Tim Sylvia. You were like, Tim Sylvia's legs are fucked, you know? Like, I remember having that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know?
He just didn't make the impact in UFC. No, like, he did get some good wins there.
He got some, but it was already after he was tarnished.
Yes.
The Gabe Gonzaga fight really tarnished him, and he just never could put wins together until he was already not as relevant anymore. But I also think he had a ton of miles on him by that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go back to the K1 days and then the Pride days, you know what I mean?
And we can't ignore that there was, even though the drug testing in the early UFC era, like, that
was
era
crazy
UFC,
too, but
it wasn't Pride.
No,
there was testing. There wasn't any testing.
No, I've never heard that UFC encouraged steroids.
Yeah, it wasn't
that's
in the contract. Yeah, it wasn't in the contract. Here's a memory that I have. It has nothing to do with the head kick. When he broke Bob Sapp's nose.
Oh man!
And Bob Sapp started crying.
Yeah,
in the middle of the ring. It was just it's a crazy visual to see someone that big and just he broke it my nose. You know what I mean? Like that moment.
How about the fact that he fought Kevin Randleman twice and one fight ends in a knockout, the other one ends in a choke.
And Randleman got the knockout.
Exactly, and Krokop got the choke. Yeah, like, how the hell does that happen?
I will say this, though. He hasn't lost since 2013, and he's on a 10-fight winning streak right now.
Man.
He just beat Big Country.
Got his revenge. Yeah. Oh, so that's two. No, he never got a revenge on Roy, did he?
No, he did on Gonzaga. His last fight in UFC was Gabe Gonzaga.
Yeah, and he won that with ground and pound.
Yes,
he awesome did. Ground
vicious,
and pound.
Vicious elbows, yeah.
Yeah, he was like vintage Mark Coleman.
Which
in
is crazy.
Fight.
He was actually against elbows.
Yeah, I know.
And then ending that winning that fight. A lot of weird parallels with Mirko's career,
man,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, he'll be missed. And I would, if anyone ever wanted to get into UFC or get into mixed martial arts, period, it's definitely a highlight reel. I think you could show someone to how exciting can it get.
Or if anybody wants to see what a MMA, a striker, like one of the great strikers in MMA history.
Yes.
Like people always are, you know, when you hear boxing fans argue, they're like, you know, the MMA guy would just take him down. It's like, not always, man. There's some MMA fighters that are great strikers that would kick, you know, and Krokop's one of those guys that you could show and be like, look at this guy, you know, look at this striking. He was amazing. I mean,
well, that brings us to round two, sir. Vitor Belfort is signed to ONE over in Japan, and he wants for his first fight Roy Jones Jr.
What the fuck?
And Roy Jones has not only responded, but it is rumored that he has signed a contract to fight Vitor Belfort. I don't know what different, I mean, I know, look, man, Roy Jones Jr. is not the Roy Jones Jr. that was the Matrix.
Yeah.
He's not. But he's still a competent boxer.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be a boxing match. This isn't an MMA fight. This is a boxing match. So, but there is a thing that it's in Japan.
Yeah.
Is Vitor going to be Super Shredder?
Yeah.
Is he going to show up on the extra sauce?
T-Tor.
Is T-Tor going to show up? Will that level the playing field? Because Vitor's hands are fast as shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're faster than Roy's at this point. They might be. Look, man, this is more interesting to me than Conor and Floyd.
Yeah.
Because, A, Vitor might be on the extra.
One thing, Vitor can crack, and Roy has a weak chin. So if he does somehow find that chin, it's very likely he knocks Roy out. Because Roy's been knocked out a lot now and viciously knocked out several times. And Vitor does have power, especially if he shows up as T-Tor.
Would you be excited to watch this fight?
Yeah, under certain rules. I'd rather kicking be involved.
I don't think Roy's going to sign that contract.
Nah. Just, you know, that's meeting in the middle. I think that's fair when MMA fighter fights a boxer.
But Vitor called this, and he wanted a boxing match.
This sounds like one of them fanboy things like Anderson was wanting to do with Roy.
This is more interesting to me
than because
it's
more likely.
Japan, and I don't know which Vitor's showing up. There are two Vitors. One's dangerous, one is deadly. There's a big difference.
I do think Vitor is not as fast as he used to be. He used to be the Matrix, man.
Yeah.
When he would unload on dudes, like the way he would cover distance was
He'd sprint forward. And just,
yeah, he was another one. Like, when I first saw Belfort, man, like, I was like, holy shit, MMA. You know, it wasn't even considered MMA back then. It was, you know, you always would hear the term Vale Tudo or NHB. You know what I mean? That was back in those days. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn. Like, but you could tell when Vitor came out, the sport was taking another step
forward. He was a different kind of athlete. Yep. The sport had not seen at that point.
Yep. Yep.
I agree.
Yeah, before Vitor, I would have said probably Ken Shamrock might have been the most impressive, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, there wasn't, like, a crazy impressive guy. Mark Coleman, maybe. I don't know. You know? Yeah. Maurice Smith might have been the coolest striker you'd seen up until Vitor. And then,
but Vitor is a literal black belt.
And jiu-jitsu.
And they strike. Yeah. That was the first we had seen of that.
And he was a Gracie protege. So
he was Victor Gracie, what he was billed as before he got to the UFC.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was very strange seeing this. Like, he didn't even take dudes down at first. He just went out there and annihilated dudes with hands, you know. His first fight, I think, was against Trey Teligman. And it was that tournament when he fought Scott Ferozzo, too, that same night. And destroyed both of them.
Who were way bigger than him.
Yeah. Yep. And he destroyed both of them in under a minute. And then he fought Tank and destroyed him in under a minute. It was, again, another guy way bigger than him, you know, and terrifying. God, Tank Abbott back at them, in them days, man, he was scary, man, the way he would knock
people out. The after effects of him knocking people out, they stuck in my head.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see Tank fight Butterbean at one point. Like if you could take prime Tank Abbott and put him in there with Butterbean. Butterbean probably win, but it'd be fun to watch. They're like two real-life King Hippos.
I could throw Big Country in the same conversation.
Big Country would whoop that ass.
But he whooped Butterbean's ass, though.
In boxing? I don't think so. You know what I mean? I've seen Butterbean. You ever seen Butterbean, like, hit a bag or hit pads?
Yeah, he's got hands. Yeah, he's got hands.
Fast,
yeah.
Dude. Butterbean is...
Old Eric Ash.
Yeah, Butterbean's jab is fast and accurate, man. Like, so I don't know about that. But I know one thing. Roy would eat a lot of shots, even Butterbean's. Yeah. Roy... Greatest chin I've ever seen in my life. I ain't never seen a chin as good as Roy Nelson's, man. And I know he's been finished, but what the fuck, man? I mean, the guy took a flying knee from Alistair Overeem. Uberim. When, you know, not, I guess Uber, he wasn't all.
Well, he took a crow cop head kick, too.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean?
Ate that thing like a tic tac.
Yeah.
I mean.
All right, let's move on to slightly more depressing news. Round 3. BJ Penn is fighting Clay Guida at UFC 237.
What's your initial?
That was my initial reaction.
Yeah, I don't mind that. It's a way better Yair Rodriguez.
My initial thought was, look, I don't want to see BJ fight anymore. But if he is to take fights going forward, these are the kind of fights I would like to see him take.
Yes,
take a Jim Miller, take a Clay Guida. I wouldn't say Lozon.
He might knock Lozon out. Him and Lozon are real tight.
Yeah, well, I don't know what. It can't be for the money, right? Why is BJ? Like, he is.
Well, you hope, because he came from a wealthy family. So,
literally, he's lost 6 straight fights. His last non-loss was 2011. He had a draw against John Fitch. His last win was when he beat Matt Hughes November 20th, 2010.
The knockout.
2010 is his last victory.
Yep. Almost a decade ago.
If he would have left after that fight, he's top 5 all time.
Yep.
And it'd be hard to remove him from that conversation. He's gonna mess around and be out of the top 20. Realistically,
yeah,
he's done that to his legacy. Yeah. But if you want to keep fighting, I'm not really mad at the Guida fight.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the Guida fight.
Quit fighting these young killers.
Yeah, don't fight Yair Rodriguez. Don't take that fight, BJ. If you're gonna come back, you know. But the thing is, BJ, he always says it too. After the loss, I shouldn't have came back. I should have stayed retired. And then he comes back and wants to fight again. He does this over and over again. He really does.
Worried to the same thing with Diego. Diego's having success. When Diego got that win last weekend, that pretty much ensured we're going to see Diego at least 2 more times.
Hey, I would be okay with Diego and BJ rematching. Absolutely.
And Diego probably steamroll him.
That's what I was going to say. I think Diego can win this one.
Yeah, I think he would steamroll
him. Oh, I don't know if he'd steamroll him, but...
I don't know. I feel like he would. I feel like somehow BJ Penn...
Just can't. Fight at all now.
He can't perform. I've seen him not throw a punch in a round several times now. Yeah. Where after the first round, he's just nullified.
And he used to have nasty hands.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. When he was with Perillo, man, he was on point in his boxing. Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, that's going on UFC 237 down in Brazil. That's like, I don't even know if that'll make the main card.
That's crazy, right? I mean,
Aldo's like the third fight from the end. I mean, the co-main is going to be Rose versus Andrade. That's the co-main. And the rumored main event's going to be Thiago Santos versus John Jones, which I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm watching. But that might be the first fight on the pay-per-view or the last fight on the prelims or something. That's for how far BJ's fallen. It's sad, but if he wants to keep going, I'd rather see him not get knocked out brutally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Guida will wear you out. You'll be tired for weeks after fighting Clay Guida.
Yeah.
He's old, but he ain't going to stop.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and podcastinsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college-educated. But most importantly, are 5 times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time. marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. And we hope to hear from you soon.
So, all right. Let's bring us to the refereeing situation from UFC 235. Two referees, you could say they had rough nights. You had Herb Dean, who was in two events. And the first event, at the time when we were watching, it looked like a good stoppage.
Yeah.
Immediately, as soon as he made the stop, we realized, well, he wasn't out.
No.
You know what I mean? So,
but from the angle we were at, it looked like a good clean. It looked like Robbie's arm dropped, and that was
And it wasn't struggling to get out.
Yeah.
And then you hear the explanation later, and it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And you see Robbie's reaction, and, you know. So, but then Herb has to go on and ref the main event, which when you're reffing a John Jones fight.
Yeah.
He prepared for eye pokes.
Yeah,
he prepared. I know. John.
Kicks in the
for
nuts.
All of his greatness, there's a lot of extra stuff that goes on with John Jones.
He does, dude. I'll tell you what, he didn't poke Anthony Smith, did he? That might be the first.
Two fights. He didn't poke
Gus either.
I was waiting for it.
I mean, of course. he poked Glover 5-6 times, it seemed like.
Cormier, he's.
And he didn't even need to do it to Glover. He was already whooping that ass.
Yeah. That's the thing about John. It's always extra.
Always.
You know what I mean? But then Herb had to make a controversial call that people didn't really understand because he took 2 points. Later, you find out in Vegas, if you believe a legal strike is intentional, you have to take a minimum of 2 points if you believe it's intentional. So Herb obviously believes John's a cheater or bends the rules to his advantage whenever he gets an opportunity. So that was his night, which was an interesting night, you know. And Herb's had some bad stoppages over the last 4 or 5 years.
I think when you ref as many fights as he has, it's going to happen.
The fighters still
seem John had plenty of
the fighters still seem to be in his corner, though. You know what I'm saying? Even though they've acknowledged, and he's acknowledged, that he's made a couple of errors in the last few years. But they're always more high-profile fights because of the level of ref that he is, so it gets more visibility. Then you have Mark Goddard, who, when Mark first got in the UFC, I was happy as shit. It looked like a guy who was taking charge of the action, and, like, you know, and fighters were going to respect the rules, and he was stern, you know, and I respected that. Over the last several years, he just seems to keep overstepping his bounds as a referee during these fights. And he was in the co-main event reffing Usman and Woodley. And when was the first stand-up? Second or third round?
I can't even remember.
There were three in the fight.
Okay.
There were three total. Two were separations. One was a stand-up. Usman took it to Woodley. There's no denying what his game plan was.
I actually remember agreeing with one of the stand-ups, though. I remember saying that, like, yeah, I'm, you know, while we were watching the fight. I remember one of them.
I remember saying I'm not mad at that one.
Yeah, yep.
Because it seemed to increase the action.
I think it's when they got up and it got real crazy for a second on one of them.
I think that was the fourth round and they just started trading immediately and it kind of paid off. But all three of those were basically Goddard getting after Usman for not giving enough action.
Yeah. This is a fight, I guess he said.
Yeah, he said that right to him. This is a fight. And what's crazy is Usman had historical output in that fight. He landed more punches than any other welterweight in any title fight history. And that wasn't enough for Goddard. And he had to interject, you know, that this is a fight. And then the one of the stand-ups, it was a he was destroying Woodley's ribs. Destroying Woodley's ribs. And 10 seconds later, you know, he I don't know, it wasn't enough action for Goddard, you know. So I don't know if the question is, did Goddard overstep his bounds? And or why is it a subject? Like, that's a subjective thing. Just because it's not your kind of action?
Yeah, Ben Askren criticized it too, but which, of course, he's a bias. It's come from, he's Woodley's training partner. But for him to publicly criticize that fight, you know, it is funny that two people saw it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Because
that ain't how we saw it. But then that's two times that happened. The Anderson Stylebender fight. Everybody was booing it. We didn't hear the audio. We thought it was great.
Yeah.
You know, that's two fights in a row that we couldn't hear the audio, and for two different reasons. I think we turned the audio off on the Anderson.
Yeah, we did.
On the other one, we were at a sports bar and
they noise.
Yeah, noise and everything. We couldn't really hear, just little pieces here and there. So,
yeah. Well, after the fight, Goddard, who has a strong social media presence for whatever reason, I believe refs should seldom be heard from, but he doesn't agree with that. And him and Anik got in a little spat.
Yeah.
You know, and John Anik's not the type to pull your card and, you know, call you out for something. But apparently backstage there's enough going on that you would – that somehow necessitated it, because he keeps getting called arrogant. That's, it keeps being a word that comes up when you talk about Goddard.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Longo also called him out for being arrogant. And Ray Longo is a straight shooter. Like him, don't like him. Yeah. That dude is going to tell you how he feels.
I love Ray.
Oh, me too. It's a real person.
Yeah, he is.
And he called him out for being arrogant. And apparently Matt Serra took him to task too on their podcast. I didn't hear it this week. I typically only watch that one if there's an interesting fighter that's going to be in studio. That's kind of how I've handled that one lately.
I love Matt Serra to death. I just wish he had a different host. And I like Jim Norton just fine.
Separately.
I just don't like him in that role. I think there's better people that could be paired up with Matt that even know the sport better. Like, they've had episodes and guests where MMA...
Well, dude, Ray Longo has stepped in and been there with Matt, and that's beautiful.
Those are the best episodes ever.
You'll laugh so hard.
A couple with Jean Valente have been good.
Matt Ally is Quinna.
So much better. He's not. It's like this weird uncomfortableness him and Jim have.
Yeah.
Like, when Matt's around them guys, he's so much better. Like, he is awful on some episodes with Jim.
You're right. The uncomfortable, the awkwardness. He's trying to impress Jim with his wit sometimes.
All the time, yeah.
And then if there's a female guest on, it's super awkward.
I
get it.
But you put Ray on there and you're laughing your ass off, you know what I mean? And just the feel of the show. I think Matt would do much better with somebody like that. And it would be it's supposed to be a UFC podcast. You know, like, they've had people on there where – it's nothing at all. The entire episode is nothing at all to do with MMA. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, I'm okay with them talking movies and stuff like that, but it's still...
That isn't why I tuned in.
Yeah. If you're it's the UFC podcast. You know what I mean? He'll have, you know, I don't know. He's had a lot of... Jim, not Matt. Matt's always, you know, it's got, you know... And there's other people that are just perfect personalities. But I think Ray or Al or Jean Valente, somebody like that.
Everybody but Weidman in that crew.
Absolutely.
Everybody but Weidman in that crew.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll circle back to Goddard to wrap this up. What I was saying about Herb is he makes mistakes, but all the fighters seem to still have his back. Goddard's kind of got a separation between him and the fighters. Him and the fighters do not get along. He made an enemy of Connor before Connor even got in the UFC. And for better or for worse, Connor holds a lot of sway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just seems like if you have a ref that continuously keeps interjecting himself to become a narrative of the fight, he deals with people arrogantly behind the scenes, obviously. Everything I've read from people, that's where it's coming to. And the UFC has no say on who refs their fights.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Isn't that weird at this point? Like, aren't you big enough that you could hire your own refs?
Yeah, I mean, because Dana has shredded. Now, I ain't seen Mazzagatti in a long time, but Dana used to shred him.
Eve Levine,
yeah.
Mario Yamasaki.
He hated Mazzagatti, though. Hated him.
Yeah.
And that guy'd still be in there. You know what I mean? Still be in there reffing fights.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just odd. I think that at this point, they should at least have some say, especially with their title fight.
Yeah. I've heard people criticize Yamasaki for the heart.
Yeah. Make,
like, people
we don't Dwayne Dana said he's more worried about making that damn heart than he is making the right call.
Yeah. It's like, I've heard even Ariel Helwani said it about
him. Ariel's digging at you.
Yeah. Ariel was like, yes, we don't need you out there making heart symbols. You know, like,
I think it's funny when Ariel puts on his tough pants.
Oh,
and he talks big. I think it's
backfired about a month ago or about 6 weeks ago, didn't it?
Tried pulling Cowboy's card.
Oh, bud, Cowboy didn't.
That's
like
a real
that.
Dude.
And he reacted way more strongly than I thought he was. Even the initial, when you sent me the link to it, and you're like, there's no way he says this to Cowboy's face. And then I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, Cowboy ain't going to like that. I never dreamed he was going to react the way he did. He was like, I'll smack that little bitch right in his fucking mouth. Yeah.
Yep.
He could beat Ariel's ass with bitch smacks too.
Easily.
You know, that's all Cowboy was allowed to do, and Ariel could pick up a baseball bat.
Cowboy's winning that.
Smacking the shit out of him.
All right. Well, this brings up round five. I got three matchups here. One's confirmed, one was rumored, and one was suggested. The one that's confirmed is next month, April 27th in Florida. The main event was supposed to be Yoel versus Paulo Costa. Borrachina's out. It is Jacare versus Yoel, part two.
Again, okay.
Part two, and that's the main event of a fight night in UFC on April 27th. How do you see that playing out?
I have no idea, man. I mean, a lot of people thought Jacare won the first time. I didn't. I thought Yoel won.
Yoel dominated that first round so hard.
And almost knocked him out.
Yes.
He dropped him with a spinning back fist. And then Jock Ryan invited him into his guard. And, you know, I went into it and exploded, man. And it's almost like Jock Ryan regretted that. Jock Ryan couldn't lock him up, man. Fresh OL, he was just too much, you know, even for a master on the ground. But we all know Jock Ryan isn't a bottom jiu-jitsu guy.
He's an attacking jiu-jitsu.
He's always likes getting top, you know what I mean, and smashing punishment on you until you give up your neck or an arm.
Yep.
And then he takes it. He's not like you don't see him pull off a bunch of triangles and stuff from the bottom like Brian Ortega style, you know.
Yep. Yeah, so that's an interesting matchup. I was glad to hear that that's the direction they're going with that fight, because I don't think you can give – the thing is, man, if Yoel wins, what happens? You can't give him the title fight. He's 0-2 against the champ right now. You have to wait till someone else wins that belt. And even then, he ain't made weight since when?
Yeah.
So you can't feel confident giving Yoel a shot.
No.
But if Jacare wins, you could do that one. That's one you could do.
Even though who knows? If Kelvin wins that fight, then everything's tossed up in the air. But, yeah, let's say, for the sake of argument, Whitaker wins that, and you do the rematch, Jacare versus Whitaker. You could sell that if Jacare makes it a pass a monster like Romero. He just got caught and hurt by Whitaker in the first fight. Yeah. Although I do think Whitaker would take that again. But I have no idea how it will go between that could be a coin flip for me, man.
First fight was good. It was close.
It was.
Yeah.
They're both older dudes, but Yoel was real old. So... at some point, man, Father Time, even for a mutant like Yoel, it's got to catch up to him sometime, right? I mean,
unless you're just genetically engineered.
Yeah.
And we don't know what your biological.
He don't age.
Dude, look at his body.
All
right, well, next fight. Anthony Johnson was at the fight this last weekend.
Yeah.
And, of course, some reporters made their way to him. And he said publicly, the only fight I would come back for right now is Jon Jones at heavyweight.
Let's do it.
We've always wanted that.
Always, man.
That's always the one. I feel like we're robbed because when he retired, we didn't get to see it before he left.
Yeah, it was
it was John's fault we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, even though Cormier dominated Rumble twice, we all know styles make fights. Rumble possesses something that nobody else that John ever fought possessed. And I think John's arrogant enough to want to strike and win that fight that way. Now, if it wasn't going well, I could see John doing what he needs to do. But I think John would want to outstrike Rumble. And
John likes to beat people at their own game.
Yeah, he does.
He stood right in front of Glover.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's done some ill. He tried to stand with Machida. It didn't go right.
Like, yep.
There's been several times that he wants to beat you. He wants to take Cormier down. He wants to do things you don't think he can do.
Yep.
So I agree. And the scary thing is, what if Rumble punches harder at heavyweight?
Yes.
What if that weight helps him?
I know. We have seen Rumble at heavyweight, though, to be fair. I mean, he fought Orlovsky at heavyweight. Broke his jaw. Didn't finish him.
Yeah, he went
the
distance.
Finish a guy that is pretty easily finished.
Yeah, but that was his first fight.
True. I mean,
at a World Series of Fighting. But yeah, I agree. And John can take a shot.
Yeah.
Can he take Rumble's shot?
I know. That's another question.
The only thing. We just don't have very, very, very many unanswered questions
and
for John.
And that's one of them.
And that is one of them.
Like,
so.
Can he eat a shot from Rumble? I would love to know that. Yep. Or can Rumble even touch him?
Can he get could you not get your knee destroyed trying to come in the land?
Exactly, or front kicked. I mean, he was throwing a lot of those front kicks right up the middle on Anthony Smith.
Anthony Smith was doing a good job early at attacking the lead hand and going chopping the legs, and then John knocked that shit off. He started doing that side kick to the stomach and just nope, you're not getting in.
Yeah, that's what he would probably fuck Rumble up.
Probably but I would love to
know.
See it.
We want to know.
I checked the one of those out. This third fight has just been suggested. No one's talked about signing it yet, but this is kind of a fancy matchup. Robbie Lawler versus Anderson Silva.
Oh, what the fuck?
Dude.
Yeah, that's right. I would never have imagined that.
No. That's a fancy matchup, but you can sign me up, man.
I don't know if I love that one. I don't know if I don't think I could see Robbie winning that one too many times. Just the range. Anderson just proved, man, he is still...
He's still alive, dog.
Yeah, yeah. The size difference, the style. I just do not think that's a good style matchup for Robbie Lawler at all, man. I think he'd have a hell of a time trying to catch Anderson with the... These are the fights Anderson loves when he's lengthy, you know what I mean? And he can be the matador, you know, and Lawler does not really have a super diverse striking. I'd much rather see Stephen Thompson versus Anderson.
Oh, man.
That would be a much better fight, much better stylistically, much better question mark. I see Anderson dominating Robbie Lawler. Just the way them two match up, man, to me.
Let's switch it around. Stephen Thompson versus Robbie Lawler.
I would love to watch it. Yeah, I think Robbie has a way better chance to win that. I think he might be able to catch Stephen Thompson at some point and withstand the punishment. Thompson doesn't have real big KO power. I mean, he can finish it, but it's usually a barrage. Like when he finished Whitaker, it was a bunch of strikes, you know what I mean? Then he just kept landing, and Whitaker couldn't get it out of the way of nothing. But I think Robbie could hang in there. He's so tough. And I think Robbie has a much better chance because Anderson isn't just a great striker. He's also really strong. You know what I mean? Like, Robbie could make it a little uglier with Wonder Boy. I'd rather see the Wonder Boy Robbie fight for sure.
All right, one last one. Robbie Lawler, Darren Till.
I would love to see that.
Because Darren Till does have that power.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's as quick as Wonder Boy in and out.
But he's got that power, and he's huge. But he's still a welterweight so far. He's been a welterweight his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it earlier. Robbie wasn't a great middleweight, you know, in Strikeforce.
But this is a different version of Robbie.
It is. This is the best Robbie we've ever seen. But I just don't like that matchup for him.
Yeah.
And I'm a Robbie Lawler fan, a much, much bigger Robbie Lawler fan than I am an Anderson fan. I don't like seeing the guys I like getting beat by guys I like less. So I don't like that fight.
Yeah.
I'm just being real.
All right. Well, that wraps us up. That's the end of five rounds, man. So that brings the end of the podcast. If you guys have any suggestions or questions, you can email us at fullcontestpodcast@gmail.com. Shout out to the Pulse Podcast Network.
Yeah, absolutely.
Catch us on Twitter.
I also want to do a King Kong Bundy shout out.
Oh, yeah.
King Kong Bundy
passed,
died.
Yeah.
He's an old school wrestler, almost before my time. What I think of him more than a wrestler, although I do think of WrestleMania 2, him and Hulk.
He's the first steel cage WrestleMania.
But I think of Popeye, the movie.
Yeah.
Popeye the movie one, because early on, he's one of the first people Popeye have to fight. You know?
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I gotta come clean though. I didn't know he was still alive when they announced that he died.
I know,
but it was sad. Yeah,
I was like, damn, he was still around.
Super iconic, man. Yeah. King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I remember him and Big John Studd terrorizing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were formidable. I'm like you said, fighting Hulk WrestleMania 2 in a steel cage. That was a big deal.
Yes,
man.
It was. Dude, Hulk climbing the corner of the cage, right on the corner, and tearing off the shirt. Like, that's an icon. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
He's got the belt on. He's got the sweatband on. He don't have the bandana on that one. He has the sweatband, the Hulk, and he climbs the steel cage, and he's standing on that old blue cage with the blue.
Yeah, the bigger bars.
Where you could literally climb it, you know. And, I can remember those visuals from that. But, yeah, I figured I'd give King Kong Bundy a shout-out. He just died, like, 2 days ago. So,
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, King Kong Bundy. Sure.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Catch us on Twitter at Full Contact Radio. Or you can go MMA_Full Contact. Catch us on there. Tweet us. Follow us. We'll follow you back.
Absolutely.
Like, talk a lot of smack. I do got to say this about my Twitter usage. I need to calm it down. I'm going to piss fighters off.
Yeah.
I got to tread lightly. But I can't help but speak my mind sometimes, and it annoys in everybody's benefit.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what
it is. If it's 140 characters, I'll put it out. So, all right, man, until next time.
All right, peace.
Peace.